Brock Lesnar.
And now,
I told you, Cole. Here it comes, Cole. It cheated. Eddie Guerrero cheated that move. Come on, Eddie. Come on, Eddie. Eddie to the top rope. Eddie cheated. Frog splash. Come on, Eddie. Get Eddie. Do it. Two. Yes. Eddie Guerrero is champion.
Here is your winner and the new WWE champion, Eddie Guerrero.
Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast on the Unscripted Everything Network. I'm your host, Palmer. Tonight we're going to be doing the No Way Out 2004 pay-per-view retrospective. Before we get into that, let me name my gracious co-host here. With me is my brother, Doug.
Yo.
Our buddy, Eric.
What's up?
Clintus.
How are you?
Pretty good, man. And Stevie's here.
What's up?
What's up, Stevie?
Stevie's on his third phone in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm on my third phone.
So before we get into it, we got a lot to get into here. We're going to toss it to Doug with the plugs.
All right. First of all, real quick, Stevie, next time you're in the bathroom, make sure the toilet seat is – make sure the lid is down – before you pull your phone out of your pocket.
Yeah.
A little friendly
about
advice.
That.
It didn't cost me money. I don't. all right. Listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time. So right after wrestling. Listen to us, Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Friday night, we're going to be doing a feud retrospective. There's been a tournament going on all week, and the finals have been going on the last couple of days. The feud we are doing next week, after winning with a total of 19 votes, we'll be covering, or we'll be doing a retrospective on the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. So, we'll be doing that next week. So everybody better do their homework. So it'll be next week. Also, listen to us, settle it in the ring. It'll probably be what, a couple weeks? Or whenever clinic, maybe Saturday off?
Maybe next Sunday.
Oh, really?
So sometime next weekend.
Okay. Clinic, since you're basically going to be part of this next episode, can you swing any of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So,
okay. All right, so next Sunday.
Yes.
All right, so what, 5 p.m. Eastern time?
Sure.
Okay. That's pretty much it, I think.
Okay. Football show's over now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it, guys. No Way Out 2004. This is a big one. We're at the Cow Palace here. We're at the Cow Palace in Daly City, California. 11,000 in attendance. Buy rate was 350,000. This is known for a big variety of reasons, but...
I mean, Daly City basically is San Francisco.
Yeah, but it's in California.
Yeah. San Francisco, California.
All right.
Oh. The Cow Palace, obviously famous building... in San Francisco, promoter Roy Shire, you know, would promote there. Pat Patterson was one of his biggest stars, and then the Samoans. I think Chavo Sr. drew a lot of money there. So, yeah. But so it's definitely a famous building.
Yep, a lot of stuff went down to the Cow Palace. No Way Out is usually known as kind of a filler pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
It's the filler between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, usually. At least it was back then. This is a very big show, and a lot of shit happens here. So it'll be cool to...
It's probably the biggest No Way Out since 2001, when Rock beat Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. But, so yeah, huge. And our marquee match here, gentlemen, is Eddie Guerrero, but we still have a whole lot else to get into. Now, no one saw the Miami Heat match, right, with Billy Kidman, London, and Dragon versus Akio, Sakoda,
no.
And Tajiri?
No. I didn't even know that was on the card.
It was on,
I think it was a Sunday Night Heat.
Oh, okay.
Basically, their pre-show at the time. Have you seen the match?
Long time ago. I mean, it was a basic cruiserweight six-man tag. The wrong team went over because, you know, they were burying the Dragon by this point.
Yeah. It seemed like it, for sure.
Yeah.
So, the pay-per-view opens up with two... are the classiest ladies I've ever seen. Sable and Tori Wilson.
I thought you were going to say Michael Bowen and Taz.
Nah, so Sable and Tori Wilson. And they cut kind of a scandalous program promo talking about, you know, how they would do anything to please the audience and stuff. And it makes me think, and Doug, I'm going to ask you this. Why is Tori Wilson in the Hall of Fame?
Because she did whatever the company asked her to do.
Yeah, but when was it ever good content? Besides just kind of
Tori Wilson was the All American girl, okay? You know, for
yeah.
a while. She was one of the more. She was basically the sex symbol that Trish could never. Or that Trish started out to be, but then everybody realized Trish could work in the ring.
Yeah.
So Trish couldn't really be the sex symbol anymore. So they needed a new sex symbol. I was busy. I couldn't do it. So, they called Tori Wilson.
Yeah, that's how it went down. Yeah. Oh, yes.
But no, I mean, seriously speaking, yeah. I mean, Tori was so beautiful. And she really was. And she's still good looking to this day.
Is that all that really constitutes to getting in the Hall of Fame? I mean,
she was a girl. Well, let's put it this way. She was a good man. I liked her in WCW. I don't know why. As Miss Hank.
Miss Hank.
I think more as like WCW-wise. Because all she really did was just eye candy. Eye candy and had that sad storyline with her father and Dawn Marie.
Yeah, but that wasn't like good.
No, it was horrible.
So,
I said sad. I didn't say good. I said sad.
No, I know.
She was really good in WCW's Kidman's manager.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she would manage Douglas and then all that. She was really good, like Linda said, as a manager. They would have kept her with Kidman in Kidman's corner.
Yeah.
But I will give her, she did take good bumps from the men.
Yeah, when she had to.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let's move on. I don't know. But to me, it's like the Hall of Fame. There's some people that aren't in there that really should be.
Yeah.
All right, let's start off with the first match here, the opener for the tag championship. It's a handicap match?
Yeah.
Sadiq was in the match. Rikishi and Scotty Too Hotty defend the belts against the Basham brothers. Doug and Danny, no, not us. And Shaniqua. Thanks, Eric. Clarence, I'm going to throw this to you first. What did you think of this one?
Well, let's just put it this way. I think the only reason why it was a handicap match is because Sneak will do anything at the time to interfere in the Vashon's quarter. Hence why they just allowed her to be in a match. And she, and let's take another side note too. Shaniqua actually was the season two Tough Enough winner at the time. Going into managing a Bachelors, she was one of the winners. So it was nice to kind of fall Tough Enough like the first three seasons and then so on. So it was nice to see how they acclimate those characters from the show into real life, into like their own wrestling careers, no matter how short it was. But it was still good. I enjoyed the match. I mean, she can wrestle in the ring, especially against such Scotty Tuati. She did well. And I enjoyed the match itself.
Doug, what did you think of this?
I think it was good.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Klinith is right. Right. Shaniqua could work. The problem is that Shaniqua wasn't a great worker. She could work against the right opponent. I mean, and we've heard reports. I mean, she actually got fired after this match. Right? She was gone.
Why?
I don't really remember the exact reason.
The Basham brothers. Stevie, where do you think the Basham brothers rank with the other Ruthless Aggression tag teams?
I would have to guess. I'd probably rank them at maybe 7 as a tag team. That's what I'd probably rank them at.
Gotcha. What were your thoughts on this match, Stevie?
Well, the don't get me wrong. I like the Basham brothers as a tag team, but again, with Shaniqua, she wasn't a very good performer. She won the Tough Enough as a co-winner. I guess they tried to get her over. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, this was a way to try to get her over. And it worked for a time. But I think what got her fired was she had a bad attitude.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. Oh.
Even going back to her OVW days when Jim Cornette tried to, get her over and it just wasn't working.
Yeah. Eric, what were your thoughts on this one?
I mean, it was an okay tag team match. I mean, it didn't like the fire, but it was just decent. I don't even remember the Basham brothers, so.
You forgot Doug and Danny. Now, Doug, I'm going to ask you this. Do you think Rikishi and Scotty Tuhati were a little played out by then? Because Rikishi, you're coming off the heel run that was not as successful as it should have been.
Right.
Too Cool was a hot act in the 90s, but now you kind of bring him back. What do you think of all that?
I think, again, you know how I talked earlier about how the Samoans were over in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Rikishi, obviously, is Samoan. Okay. Rikishi was born in San Francisco. One of the reasons why, he was on this card is because, they knew he'd be over here. Up to this point, he really was not over. Like, at the Royal Rumble, he came out, nobody cared.
Yeah.
So, were they kind of stale at this point? Probably, but they were the champs, and it was a kind of a good story. They were together for 5 years. They're finally champions together.
Yeah. I mean, I like the other tag match that we're going to see later on better.
Yeah.
But I did not hate this. The Basham brothers, I feel like, they had a better run than they did. And maybe if Vince cared more about tag team wrestling, they would have.
Again, we're in an era of the rules. Yeah. Nobody, tag team wrestling was just kind of there.
Yeah, it wasn't huge for tag teams.
Yeah.
I mean, flashback, was it the same year or was it 2005 when Suzuki and Dupree won the titles?
It'll be later on this year.
So, I mean, that tells you all you need to know about the tag team.
Yeah.
When it comes to stars, 1 out of 10, what are you going to rank this at, Doug? This match?
1 out of 10?
Yeah.
I'd probably say about a 5.
Okay. Clint?
I'll say about a 5.
Eric?
I'll say a 4.
Stevie?
I would say 5.
I'm going to have to agree with that group and go 5. I thought it was okay. It's mediocre. It's a good opener, but nothing too special. Now, let's move on. Doug, your favorite match on the card.
Fuck you.
Jamie Noble and Nydia. Get into it. Give us some passion because you're mailing it in so far. What do you got? Jamie Noble and Nydia.
All right, so this actually had a really good story. I mean, Nydia goes blind. When Jamie Noble, when she goes blind, Jamie Noble starts being that, you know, passionate boyfriend, wants to get revenge for her.
Yeah.
Then realizes, fuck this, I could use this bitch. And uses her to win matches. So, you know, she gains her eyesight back. She costs him the Cruiserweight title. And so now they're going to have this match. Well, she was blind for 2 months. So somehow she got Heyman. I don't know why Heyman agreed to help a babyface. Unless, you know, she took pictures of him sucking Brock's dick and threatened to put him to National Enquirer. You know,
oh my God.
Nowadays, it isn't really that big of a secret because everybody knows. But the thing about this match is Jamie Noble should not go over anything except for a cliff.
You don't like Jamie?
No. He was dog shit here.
What?
Jamie Noble, a decent worker, a good hand, okay? A good hand to handle a penis with, okay? The only that's the only thing he's good for. A good hand to give a hand job. He's fucking dog shit. Nydia wasn't that much better. Nydia was hot.
Jamie Noble's work is dog shit?
Yeah.
No. I mean, it was awesome.
Bullshit.
In-ring work. Not character promo, all that. In-ring work, you think he was bad?
I think he was okay. All right. And this match did nothing for me except for make me want to put a pillow over my face and squeeze.
I mean, I agree with Nitty was greater than goose shit.
Yeah.
But Jamie Noble, I don't think his wrestling, I mean, his matches, especially around this time with Chavo and Mysterio and stuff, were always top notch.
Yeah. If you mean by top notch, you mean bottom of the slipper.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know what? I kind of agree with you, Daniel. I do like Jamie in ring performance, but Nydia to me, because you have to realize Nydia was also a Tough Enough winner.
Yeah.
So watching her being paired with Jamie Noble, I kind of liked it at first. But the whole storyline of them actually breaking up was just kind of like a shock within itself. And then how it happened. How
anywhere after.
Yeah.
They needed each
other. Once he broke them up, it was really...
Breaking up was a bad idea.
They needed each other.
Yeah.
Well, no,
it was a decent storyline.
I agree. I think the story was really good. To be honest, the build up, everything, him using her, he looked He is a great. He's probably maybe one of the best heels on this card.
Okay. But here's the thing. This whole thing was Nydia supposed to get her revenge on him, right? What did he accomplish by making a woman tap out?
He didn't really cheat. He cheated, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but he looks like a chicken shit.
Well, all right, so he makes a woman tap out. He's a big, tough guy. I take poops bigger than him. Okay? If anybody, this asshole does not need to look, this guy could not be made to look like a tough guy if he carried three cars over his head.
Right.
Here's the deal. Humiliate this motherfucker. Make him put Nydia over. Do not let him go over any unless it's a fucking twist.
I didn't know you hated Jamie Noble that bad.
I do agree with you. I did expect watching that match that she was going to actually beat him. And then when it made it a blindfold match, I said, "Oh, this is easy. She has this in the bag. There's no way you can mess this up."
Should they have given the to where she wins? Probably. But you also have big baby face. Well, one big baby face win on this card. The match itself was kind of, she was having fun. She honestly, this thing only went 4 minutes.
Yeah.
The match. I got some entertainment out of it. With her fucking with him.
You went out and smoked a cigarette. Don't fucking lie to the people.
But I came back and I got some entertainment out of it.
You said to me, "Is this with yet?" So I could come back in.
It wasn't over though. That's when I got the entertainment out of it. Jamie Noble, I thought they did what they did here. They did it okay. Nydia, you know, she looked good during the match. She was fucking with him, and you didn't like that part. I thought you wanted her to be humiliated. I thought she humiliated him pretty well. And I thought it was entertaining. And it's like, oh, she's getting her ups.
Well, yeah, but did she win?
No.
There you go.
But a match isn't just the ending. It's the whole performance.
He should have. First of all, he shouldn't have been allowed to hit her. They should have had.
Well, this is still the ruthless aggression era, too. We're not quite PG. We're still allowed to hit women. Well, in wrestling.
I mean, blindfolded, hands should have been cuffed behind your back, testicle handcuffed to the. That motherfucker should not have been allowed to move. Nydia should have just kicked the shit out of him for 10 minutes. Referee hand her a taser. She tased him. He goes down. She wins. That's it.
All right, well, there's obviously some personal feelings here, so I don't think I'll get your true opinion. Stevie, what'd you think of this one?
Well, I'm not sure why they thought of the idea of her wrestling Jamie Noble, but do you think they were just trying to have an edgier product?
I think so, yeah. That could have gone into it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much more edgy. Him, if there's anything, Doug, you can say about this match, the ending when he put that submission on her, it looked real. It was brutal.
Yeah, it did.
Out of a woman. I know that's what you don't like about it. It gave it a level of believability, at least.
Right. The only woman that I felt like should have been beat up around this time was Stephanie McMahon. I still feel that way. I'm cool.
She's been beat up a few
times. Yeah.
Eric, what did you think of this one?
For 4 minutes, I thought it was decent.
You sexist pig.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just...
Yeah.
Man.
It's all right, ruthless aggression filler. Like, it's okay. And it's not, like, too long. If this one went 15 minutes, I'd say it's the shit. But it's over with quick. Doug, how many stars are you going to give this one out of?
Negative 98.
Okay, negative 98. Quinn?
I'm going to give it a 3.
All right. Eric?
I'll give it a 3-2.
All right. Stevie?
I would have to say a 3.
All right. I am going to give it a 3 as well. It was definitely below
it. Did that give it?
Negative 98.
Oh.
Moving on to a good match.
Yeah.
At least honestly, this one was one of my favorites on the card, even though it's kind of short. But World's Greatest Tag Team, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas against the APA, Bradshaw and Farouk. Clint, I'll throw this to you first. What did you think of this match?
I think, well, being the second tag team match of the night, I think it was probably one of the best ones we had. I mean, this is towards the end of the APA breaking up, and we had a nice rivalry going on with the World Greatest Tag Team, up and coming young tag team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Eric, what do you think?
I thought it was a solid tag team match. Wish it could have gone longer. I wish it was for the tag titles too, but I actually thought it was for tag titles, but it would have been better if it was. It was two good teams, two of the best teams in the Ruthless Aggression there, in my opinion.
Stevie?
Well, I think Haas and Benjamin are great, but the APA at this point, they were not expected to have great matches, so I think it was right. It was the right team won over here. So.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Doug, your thoughts?
I agree with him. The right team went over because I don't think the APA needed it.
Yeah.
I do think Haas and Benjamin, even though they wouldn't be together that much longer, you know, only another month or so.
Yeah.
They needed the win because for like the last couple of months, all they have been doing has been jobbing to APA.
Yeah.
So it had to happen.
Why did they break up? I'm sorry, Doug.
Benjamin got moved to Raw.
Go ahead. Okay.
And then he got put on that big singles push.
Yeah. They saw a lot. Well, Jim Ross saw a lot of money in Shelton Benjamin. Because Jim Ross is all about the athletic background. And they felt like they could make a big baby face out of him. And so anyway, but like with back to this match, APA did not need to win this thing.
No.
So the right team went over. I'm just actually surprised Bradshaw took the fall.
Yeah. Well, this match, yeah. I actually really enjoyed this match. Four really talented people, but I gotta say, and no disrespect to Charlie Haas, because I like Charlie Haas, but you could just tell that he was the greenest guy in this ring, in my perspective at least.
Yeah.
Some of the moves he did, even some of the tag team moves, shit, Charlie would do something, it would look okay, and then Shelton would do it, and it'd look badass. And, you know, shit, it's not his fault. You're in the ring with two legends and one of the greatest athletic, you know, one of the greatest athletes in wrestling ever, in Shelton Benjamin, to be honest. No, not
underrated.
Bradshaw. Very Shelton Benjamin, severely fucking underrated. That dude's amazing.
Yeah.
And he was even amazing here. And the APA, you know, they are what they are. I thought it was hard hitting. It was athletic. It was a good 7-minute match. Like Eric said, it could have gone a little longer, but for what it did, it didn't lag. There was no jet lag here.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
And
it showcased all four guys in different ways.
Yeah, and it's new school versus old school, and it was good. I thought this was top
and that
of the
story.
Line.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, they build that story with Bradshaw's arm, too, so that was pretty
good. That clothesline from hell looked like it hurt like a bitch, too, that he hit on Charlie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many stars are we going to give this, Doug?
I'd give it 6. All right, Eric?
I'd give it 7.
Stevie?
I'd give it a 6.
Quintus?
I'm going to give it a 7.
I'm going to have to agree with Quintus and go 7. I really... What I don't get is, why the hell is this match number 4 in the tag team match the opener? Or the title match? How does that make
because
sense?
I think the title match... you get that. Because that title match was made to look like a joke, which it really was, in a way. A handicap tag team title match.
And they had
more of a...
that match. APA and the World's Greatest Tag Team were just put together like 3 days earlier because they needed filler.
Yeah. But they had been working together a lot, right?
On the house shows, yeah.
Okay. Now, our last kind of filler match before we get into the big three here, Hardcore Holly and Rhino. Before we get into that match, we should talk about the segment that happens before that with when Goldberg comes out as a fan because Stone Cold Steve Austin gave him a ticket. And that's what people forget about this show is that everyone's so focused on the Eddie win. They forgot that Goldberg's really all over this thing.
Yeah.
And Goldberg comes out as a fan. Paul Heyman comes out, says this is the first show of Paul Heyman SmackDown, all that good shit. And then he basically tells him, don't go over. Then Brock comes out. Brock's very antagonistic. And by the way, guys, thank God Brock's got Paul Heyman now. Because his promos, oh my God, he was fucking awful. Maybe I'm the only one that shares this opinion, but such a high-pitched voice out of such a massive man like that, it's so nuts to me. Like, he looks like he's like... Ugh. But then he's like, I'm going to beat you up, Goldberg. What the fuck?
He did get a little better.
Because he has Heyman cut the promos for him.
Yeah, now he's better because he doesn't talk. But oh, my God. The fact that they tried to make him do promos. It's like, oh, my.
Can you imagine back then he said, Tava, would you like to go out on a date with me?
And even him, his promos with, well, we'll get into that more during the main event, but his promos with Eddie, you know, before to build this thing up, and he would, like, talk down to Eddie, and it would just sound stupid as hell, and he sounds like an idiot. But then Eddie would give that passion, you know, that, you know, you're right, I am an addict and all that. And
yeah.
It was a great promo because of Eddie, but it's like Eddie had to carry this fucking guy.
Right.
He just can't talk. Which, I mean, it's fine. People have different strengths than others. But he goes on Goldberg. Goldberg hops over the barricade. Brock gets a few punches on him, correct? Goes for the F5, counters Jackhammer.
Right. And then he gets arrested. Cole and Taz are going nuts because Brock Lesnar represents Smack. I mean, well, Taz beats shit anyway. But Michael Cole's going nuts, even though Michael Cole is supposed to be happy every time somebody beats the shit out of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that's what I didn't get, too. He's the baby face, and he's so, like, against... I get it smacked.
Well, that, I remember that whole week. Everybody. From, you know, Michael Cole and Taz to Josh Matthews and his co-host on the SmackDown Recap show. Whatever the fuck it was called. Her name was Rue DeBona or something.
Yeah.
And she was being deboned by Matthews at the time. They were dating. But they were just like, oh, my God, it was so despicable. No, Paul Heyman got speared. That's great. Okay? It's good to see Paul Heyman get the shit beat out of him. You fuckers are just stupid. And you all hate him anyway. Yeah. You all hate him anyway, so you should be happy when he gets beat up. But no, they're all like, oh, he's part of SmackDown. It shouldn't have happened. Well, then his fat ass shouldn't have gone on Raw and gotten in the ring.
Well,
All right. You don't, if you don't want Heyman to get his ass kicked, you tell him keep your mouth shut. Don't go in the ring with Goldberg, who, well, one, well, if he goes in the ring with Goldberg now, Goldberg's watching. But, like, I mean, and I remember, like, that week, like, the night before on Velocity, Bill DeMott, because, you know, Josh Matthews was talking shit, and Bill DeMott, who was doing the commentary with him at the time, goes, did Heyman get in the ring? And Josh goes, yeah. He goes, all right, when you get in the ring, expect to get your ass kicked. And Josh goes, Bill, you're wrong. He actually said to Josh, he goes, I've been in the ring, Josh. You won Tough Enough, and yet you're here with me doing commentary. Or no, he didn't win Tough Enough. He goes, you were on Tough Enough, but yet you're on here doing commentary with me. I've been in the ring. I know this better than you.
And he's been in the ring with Goldberg. He's his first opponent.
Yeah. So just that whole thing just bothered me. It's just like, okay, guys, most of you want to see Heyman get beat up. Taz has beaten up Heyman before. And yet you're all going to have a fucking hissy fit just because Heyman got beat up on Raw. His fat ass should have never been on Raw.
Yeah.
So, shut the fuck up. Michael Cole, be the babyface commentator you're supposed to be. Quit sucking on Heyman's hemorrhoids. And, you know, that's it.
So that happens. Goldberg gets arrested. What I like that they did, because they kind of called to an old storyline that happened a month before. Hardcore Holly came out for his match, and Lesnar always already looked hurt from the spear or the jackhammer. And Hardcore Holly runs out like he's going to kick his ass because they already had a program. I like that they did that. You know, they kind of called to something that they did before. I thought that was cool because Holly's still pissed, you know. And I feel like they were doing a good job around this time is building Hardcore Holly more than just a mid-carder.
Well, because he had kind of earned the spot. And the issue is that Bob really could not, because he wasn't a good promo.
Really?
But he had a good work ethic. Epic.
Okay.
Yeah, that too. And, you know, when you have a good work ethic, you should be rewarded for it. Unless you work at a retail store and then they punish you for it. Especially retail stores that are run by women that should work at the best little whorehouse in Texas.
When it comes
stay silent so you don't get in trouble.
To me, this match was very boring.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. And I like both guys. And I like both guys' matches. But the chemistry really wasn't here. It was kind of hard-hitting, but not like what I expect from these two. I was not a fan of this one. Clinton, what'd you think?
I think the chemistry wasn't there, like you said before. It was two different personalities. The match was made on, like, the announcement was made for, like, 3 days beforehand, I think, or Sunday night heat. I forgot which one he said. So it was one of those late matches.
It started 3 days before, but the match was made official on heat.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just like, it was just two guys that didn't really have chemistry to the point that you didn't really need. It was a bathroom break. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even if I saw this on Velocity, shocked, to be honest, you know?
I'm trying to think, because I think they did work Velocity before. I'm pretty sure.
Exactly.
I actually think they worked Velocity the week prior.
Let me ask you this, Doug. Why did Rhino never become anything huge around this era? Because he went to TNA and had a run. Before he got here at ECW, he was a monster. What didn't click in his WWF run?
I think they were trying to build him as something, but then he had the neck surgery. And then, you know, when you're being built as something, but then you have to go away for a while, Vince loses interest. Yeah. And not just Vince, everybody does. And that was the thing, too. You know, another good example of that is Mustafa Ali or whatever the fuck his name is. You know, the
Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, him. A couple of years ago, he was on this run, right? And he was supposed to have a WrestleMania match against Daniel Bryan. Well, he injured his ass in a match with Randy Orton. Because Randy Orton still doesn't know how to master that announce table bump. Because he'll throw guys like they're fucking beanbags cornhole or whatever the hell they call
cornhole.
It? Yeah. Yeah, he'll fucking toss these guys like he's tossing beanbags in cornhole. And Ali hurts his tailbone. He was supposed to have the WrestleMania match with Daniel Bryan and possibly win it. I don't know if they were actually going to put the belt on him or not. And he had to be taken out of Elimination Chamber because he was supposed to have like that star-making performance. He got taken out. Kofi got put in. Now, when Mustafa Ali came back, it was almost like, all right, you were only gone for 3 weeks, but too little too late, you're already being replaced. Fuck you. It's kind of like, it's almost like that's, I think, kind of what happened. Rhino was gone for almost a year. Actually, a year and a half. They really didn't know, I don't think, what to do with him afterwards because they lost interest, which unfortunately happens.
Well, I lost interest in this match, that's for sure. Stevie, what'd you think?
Well, it was a good match. It was physical, and it had good psychology to it, and it had some believable near falls as well, but it was like nothing special, though.
Yeah, the crowd didn't really care.
No, because there were way three big ones.
And this was a hot crowd, too.
Yeah.
Eric, what do you got?
I thought it was okay. Another okay match. Meh.
I mean, the next three matches are what make this. Because I would say this is a good paper. But I feel like everything up to here has been kind of filler.
Unfortunately, that's the way those pay-per-views were back then.
Yeah. Because you have only so many guys.
Yeah, you have only so many guys on the roster, and yet you have to put on a seven-match card.
Yeah.
But, like, going back to – and it was a lot, like, in this era. Like, you would have your matches, like, your top three or four, like, big matches, right?
Yeah.
But you want them at the end of the show because they're your main events. Well, you're going to put the shit on first? It, like, made no sense. Like, the Judgment Day that year, right? Which was Eddie and JBL.
Yeah.
And your other marquee matches were Undertaker, Booker T, John Cena, Rene Dupree, Lord help us, for the U.S. title. And the Dudley Boys versus RVD Mysterio. Now, luckily, they put the Dudley Boys and RVD and Mysterio on first to get the crowd kind of livened up. But then you had matches like Mordecai versus Scotty Too Hotty.
Mordecai.
Hardcore Holly and Billy Gunn versus Rico and Charlie Haas. Chavo Guerrero versus Jacqueline for the Cruiserweight title.
I liked her run, though, with that.
But the point is that, like, you have to have, you want to save your big ones for later on.
Yeah. Well, they did that here. Let's give our stars. I'm going to give this like a 3.
I'd give it a 4.
Eric?
I'd give it a 4.
Brother?
A 4.
Stevie?
I'd probably go with a 4.
All right, 4's all aboard. Now, getting into something good, which is exciting.
Fucking time.
Well, the tag match is good. Jamie Noble and Nidia put out a classic, but
I'm fucking
Oh, you're just poking a bear, aren't you? Poking
a
bear.
But I gotta live with the bear.
Doesn't wear pants.
Chavo Guerrero with his dad, Chavo Classic, goes against Rey Mysterio, who is our defending cruiserweight champion, Perez. It's not really Perez, right? It's Pez.
Paez.
George Paez. Professional boxer.
Jorg or Jorge or something.
Okay. But a badass dude.
Yeah. Hell of a haircut.
Great red coat. Great red coat.
Ah, man. Are you talking? Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's go to Eric first. What did you think of this match, Eric?
I thought it was a pretty good match between two good wrestlers. The storyline was very intriguing, especially with whole Eddie and Chavo missing to it. And the promo after when Chavo won. So I thought it was a good match.
Yeah, I thought this was a good way to get Chavo's heat back, too, after taking that brutal loss to Eddie at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Doug, get into it a little bit.
Okay, so...
This was your favorite match on the card. You said that to me last night.
The main event was my favorite match on the card.
That's not what you said last night. You said this is your favorite match.
Up this point.
Match was good.
All right. So this match actually was really good. And it was really good because Chavo was able to get his heat, like you said. And I think him having his dad at ringside, who and his father, you know, God rest his soul, because Chavo Classic's no longer here. His father had a really punchable face.
He took a lot of bumps, too.
Yeah.
He was good at it.
Yeah. But, and one of those stupid things is, Paez was in Rey's corner, so he counteracted Chavo Classic, right?
Yeah.
Well, Chavo Classic started annoying Paez, so Paez punched him in the face, which is what they can do to each other. They can beat the fuck out of each other at ringside.
Yeah.
Well, that jackass Jim Corderas, who has not been a consistent referee at threw Paez out of the ring. Now, he couldn't throw Chavo out of the ring because Chavo was knocked on his ass. But still, Jimmy Corderas is one of the worst wrestling referees of all time. And he's so inconsistent. I remember on a Raw one time, D'Lo Brown beat Triple H for the European title after The Rock interfered, right?
Yeah.
Corderas is the one that counted the fall. Later on, X-Pac was wrestling The Rock for the Intercontinental title. Earlier was for the European. X-Pac was wrestling The Rock for the Intercontinental title. Triple H interfered. X-Pac goes to make the cover. Jimmy Corderas, who missed the interference earlier, came out and told the referee, don't count that. Triple H interfered. Well, you stupid, balding fuck. What's happening here is what you allowed to happen in your match earlier because you missed it.
And now you're going to fucking call it? Be consistent. This is why bald-headed people are completely useless.
So what did that make you?
I think he was talking about himself, too.
I have hair.
Were you talking about yourself?
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say,
Eric knows.
Aren't me and Eric the only guys with hair on this show?
I have hair.
I have hair.
Not muscle.
Stevie has hair, right?
No, I'm kind of a little bit bald on top, but I do have hair.
Those got hair.
on my ass.
So, Mysterio, I mean, this was great top to bottom. Maybe
yeah.
not your favorite match of the card, but because, you know, I didn't lie. But Mysterio and Chavo, they went at it, and the athleticism, the storytelling. This has got to be Chavo Guerrero's peak, right? I don't think he's been better than here. And they've done a lot with him, but this is when he was like, okay.
Right. They knew, again, him turning on Eddie was probably the best thing for him.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to live in Eddie's shadow.
Yeah. At that point it was. Now, do you think the right guy won here? I honestly do.
Yeah.
It was a big night for the Gray.
Gray didn't
huh?
need the Cruiserweight title. Be honest with you.
He was a good champion, but yeah.
Yeah, he was a good champion, but there are certain guys that they can still be considered the greatest cruiserweight or heavyweight or,
yeah.
You know, whatever weight, super weight, whatever the fuck.
Like heavyweight, who cares?
In the world and not need the title to prove it.
Well, let's put it this way. Rey Mysterio was is one of those people, you're right, doesn't really need the Cruiserweight title. But I think they put the Cruiserweight title on him to make the division worth watching on SmackDown. Give it to your best person, Cruiserweight you have there, and let him drop it. To someone like Chavo Guerrero to elevate him.
Yeah.
Hey,
good face here. Compared to, I mean, Chavo is a great heel, but I mean, they've had so many matches, so it's hard to say which one's the best. But this was a really good match between the two.
I think this may have been one of their best.
They've just had so
many. Yeah,
they've wrestled a lot.
I think it's probably their top three best.
I'd probably agree with that.
Oh.
Especially because of the storyline.
How many stars would you give this one, Eric?
I'd give it an 8.
Stevie, how many stars would you give this? What were your thoughts on the match?
Well, I'd probably give it an 8. I think the buildup of the match was good and the timing. So I'd say the buildup and the timing was probably what I liked about the match.
Okay. Doug?
Well, since this was my favorite match in the card, I give it.
To miss it.
Thanks, Clint. Clint, did I get started from Clint?
Yeah, I want to give it a 9.
Okay. I'm going to have to agree and give it a 9. I thought this was awesome for what it was.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to another actually pretty stellar match, 3 legends, John Cena, Big Show, and Kurt Angle.
Well, at this point, Big Show can count for 5 legends.
Yeah. He was getting fatter.
Oh, my God. But luckily, and good for him, that he was able to trim down as much as he did. Because, like the Yokozuna documentary and all that.
Yeah.
and seeing how bad he got, and just the fact that he was not willing to put in the work. But Big Show knew how unhealthy it was for him to be that way. So Big Show knew that, hey, if I want to still be alive, to make my 85th comeback and my 57th heel turn, you know, I got to get in a better shape. Which, and good for him that he was able to do that. And I'm not, there's nothing wrong with liking to eat, to be honest with you. But you also have to try to, you know, if you're being told lose weight because if you break a bone, we have to get you out on a fucking forklift. I mean, it's time to lose some weight. Either lose the weight or have a limb cut off.
A young John Cena here.
He was really coming into his own.
Yeah, he was getting there.
Yeah, he was.
And you saw him tap out, too, which you don't see a lot.
Yeah, you don't see that anymore.
That was... I mean, you saw him tap out quite a bit back then.
Yeah.
But I think this was the last time he tapped out for a while.
Yeah. Kurt Angle was awesome.
Great promo.
Oh, yeah, great
promo.
Promo
he cut.
Yeah, it was funny.
Funny as hell.
And I like this match, too, because it sets up perfectly for Cena and Big Show at WrestleMania, and it also sets Kurt up to take on the winner of the next match.
Right.
And that actually turned out to be one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time.
I agree.
So this was a great setup here for that. Clintus, what were your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think it was a great build up. The storyline going into it was excellent, as it always is, as it should be. I mean, Kurt Angle, one of the finalists of the Royal Rumble, after losing the SmackDown Royal Rumble television. Getting another shot to headline WrestleMania. You got John Cena and Big Show. Rivalries are all wanting to prove who's going to be the bigger man. Who's the best of the card. So I think it was a great way.
I agree.
Stevie.
Well, I thought the match was entertaining. I mean, Cena did a good job selling the knee injury because he was wearing brass. You know what I mean? A brace. And this was the actual match to start off the Cena and Big Show feud at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Eric, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was a good triple threat match. Good storyline. As Stevie said, Cena sold the knee injury really well. And Big Show was made his presence known. He was there for, he wasn't there for the cover, but he was there just to be the Big Show. I mean, the big guy.
I gotta say that the finish too was probably the best. Well, actually, you can't say it's the best finish over the main event. The finish here, I love how, like you guys said, Cena sold the knee injury the whole night. But then Big Show's got him on the ropes. Big Show's got he's kicking his ass, right? And then Kurt comes in, angle slams Show over the top rope. That was phenomenal. And
that
then
was,
he walks over
was
to
fantastic.
On the leg, ankle lock, the night I read. Did that not make Kurt Angle look badass, Doug?
It did. And Kurt Angle, here's the thing. Kurt was still, like, he was kind of in between. He wasn't a babyface, wasn't a heel. Because, again, he was going to start, you know, saying, oh, Eddie Guerrero's not a champion. And which, to be honest with you, when Kurt started getting involved in the Guerrero's business, you knew Kurt was going to be a heel.
Yeah.
So, but here, yeah, I mean, Kurt was unstoppable.
And all three guys, you know, showed out. Even the Fat Show still worked his ass off here.
Big Show always
Absolutely.
Was up. Okay?
Yeah.
And we're not saying that fat people aren't hard workers. No problem.
Unless your name's Kenny Lehman.
but it's just like, but again, you know, the issue with being that big is you can't really go long. But here, like, you know, there was two other guys in the match, so the match could have gone as long as, you know, they wanted it to.
Yeah. It was almost 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Big Show had pretty good endurance.
Yeah. He can move, too, a little bit.
Yeah, and Big Show had better endurance back then at 500 pounds than Goldberg does now at 260.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A French bulldog has better endurance than Goldberg. How many stars would you give this, Doug?
This match, I'd probably give it a 7.
All right, I'm going to go 8 stars. I really like this one. Eric?
I'd give it 8.
Stevie?
I'd go 7.
Clevin?
I want to go with 8.
All right. Bunch of 8s and some 7s. Now,
whole house.
Whole house. Now, main event. The creme de la creme, one of the greatest WWE championship matches of all time. Is that a stretch to say that?
It's up there.
It's a board card. Huh?
I won't call it the greatest, but it's up there for the generation. At the time, yes, it was.
To be honest with you,
yeah,
it's probably the greatest WWF title match of the 2000s.
It's got to be the best Brock Lesnar
WWE
match.
Title.
It's some of the.
This is when Brock Lesnar was great.
Yeah, because
well,
Brock.
Because Brock Lesnar actually wanted to be there. That's the difference between.
Yeah, but that would change.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, wasn't the blue Marty off the rose or was starting to?
It was getting there.
Brock showed out for this match. I said what I said about his promo earlier because it is dog shit, but as far as great, and he might have still been a little green, and he's in there with probably the best to do it as far as carrying people. But Brock really did show out, and for a 30-minute match, you know, he didn't miss a beat the whole time.
Oh, and he sold.
Yeah, everything.
And here's the thing. See, now, and I heard somebody say one time that Brock Lesnar sells really good. Bullshit. But here, Brock Lesnar sold his ass. That knee injury he sold, I mean, he did an awesome job selling that.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he did. This was amazing. The whole match, I mean, did anyone go into this thinking Eddie could win? Not knowing everything?
I was just going to say, knowing when we went to watch it last night, we knew.
Oh, yeah, we knew Eddie was going to win last night. But in 2004, did anyone really think Eddie Guerrero was going to win?
I had no clue.
And it's nothing.
I mean, I have faith he was going to win. I think.
I wasn't watching wrestling
when it was set up.
So I don't know.
The whole, like, at the way the whole setup, I knew that they had to find a way to get the title off Brock Lesnar because he wanted to set that WrestleMania feud with Goldberg up. And what better way to do it than have?
Yeah, because they were not going to do Goldberg versus Lesnar for the WWE title.
Yeah.
Like they did 20 years later? I mean, not 20 years later. 15 plus years later.
Also, the crowd was firmly behind Eddie. If he would have lost, it would have been a riot.
Yeah.
And they pulled out the whole drug user and stuff. You can't really do that stuff and not let the babyface go over. Kind of like what we were talking about.
Exactly.
With another good example is Booker T and Triple H. When he was kind of making all the, I don't know if it's racial, but he was he was putting himself as better than Booker T. You remember
right.
that Triple
yeah.
H and Ric Flair saying he should be the chauffeur and stuff? How are you going to do that angle that had Booker T lose?
Well, and another thing, too, Triple H and Kane, you know. The
Katie Vick stuff.
The
yeah.
Katie Vick stuff. You accuse Kane of being a murderer, and then you beat him the next week on pay-per-view.
Yeah. And I get
speaking
it.
Of that.
Was Triple H basically had he super glued the title to his testicles,
yeah.
pretty much. So, like, he had to be on top.
But to me, when you make real – I mean, wrestling is personal attacks, but when you take it to a certain level, the fan is expecting a good story out of it.
The fan
know?
Is expecting the heel to get the shit beat out of him.
Yeah, a heartwarming story. If yep. Eddie doesn't win here, I don't think this pay-per-view ends up being anything special.
Well, here's the thing. Brock also knew how to do business back then.
Yes.
All right.
He would lose the title, yes.
There's a difference between. See, but now, like, because, like, even back then, Triple H did not know how to do business. Triple H had to be the champion. He was on top of Stephanie, who's going to be on top of WWE. And look at where things are now. For the longest time, Brock had to be on top.
Yeah.
All right? And Triple H
yeah.
didn't even want to fucking be on TV.
Yeah.
So my how the tables have turned. Back then, Brock was a piece of shit, but he was a negotiable piece of shit. Triple H was just a piece of shit. Now, Triple H is actually kind of decent.
Yeah, he does not seem that bad anymore.
And Brock Lesnar is just a big piece of shit that, you know, rips Sable's insides with his penis.
Jesus Christ. Now, getting to the match.
That's a segue.
Gwyneth, what were your thoughts on this one?
I think it was an excellent match. I mean, a great back-and-forth match. It was at a time we watched Brock Lesnar now, and it's like, I wish this was the Brock Lesnar that was still wrestling compared to what we have now. Because it seems like this Brock Lesnar wants to wrestle, wants to actually work with you in the ring instead of just going out there, putting on a 2-second show, destroying your opponent, and then leaving. And you say that he needs Paul Heyman as a mouthpiece, but at the really time he can't cut good promos. But at the same time, him and Paul Heyman at the time was still like off and on. I think.
So you saw at Survivor Series he cost him the title, but the only reason Paul Heyman was on his corner this time around is because of Goldberg's situation and this time around. But he didn't really need like a mouthpiece. He can't cut good promos. But he put on excellent matches. Let's put it that way. But
right.
I enjoyed it.
Stevie, what were your thoughts?
Probably one of those things, one of those matches you'll never forget in wrestling. So I thought the match was entertaining. Especially the crowd reaction when Eddie won the title was massive.
Absolutely. Eric, what were your thoughts?
It was my favorite match on the card. I mean, I loved Eddie won, and the crowd reaction was great. Probably one of the best crowd reactions to somebody winning a title.
Oh, I agree.
And Michael Cole calling the ending was great too. And I'm not a big Michael Cole fan, so but he did a good commentary.
Well, we can't overlook the fact that Goldberg did have a part to play in this match as well too.
I was gonna ask that. Does that take anything away from this match to you guys that Goldberg?
No, because Brock kicked out.
He did kick out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, I mean, more should be made of Eddie DDTing Brock in the title.
If they missed the belt for the DDT.
Well, nobody cares.
I mean,
getting his big ass hat on the belt.
I don't think it took anything away either, because it was also kind of a moment in its own right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he still got that.
And it set up Goldberg and Lesnar's storyline, so.
Which, I think it was in my notes too. That was a really good built up match. The match sucked at WrestleMania 20, but the build up was awesome.
Yeah.
Goldberg and.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was really intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching this made me want to
see. Knowing what we know now.
I had to remember that the match sucked.
See, and here's the thing. You know, you say, you know, you bring up Goldberg's involvement. At least Eddie earned the title. When JBL beat Eddie for the title later on in the year, Kurt Angle just said, I like JBL better. JBL, you're the champion. Because in the Texas Bull Roll match, Eddie technically won the match, but the referee called the match being won. And the rules state you have to hit the turnbuckle with your hands. JBL just kept hitting him with the back of his shoulder. Kurt had issues with Eddie Guerrero, so he just said, no, JBL touched the turnbuckle first, even though, you know, you're supposed to touch it with your hand, not your shoulder blade or whatever the fuck. And I like JBL better, therefore, JBL, you're the champion.
Yeah, that was...
Kurt Angle could not be a good general manager at any time.
Yeah.
He sucked as a SmackDown general manager. Years later, you know, when he was Raw general manager, I mean, Bayley finally turns on Sasha Banks. We're going to get this hot feud. Oh, no, you're both going to couples counseling. You fucking faggots. You bald-headed puss bag.
Well, I don't, at the time, I didn't think it was
what
right.
We wanted, and,
but
we finally had what we wanted, and yet you grew a vagina. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, did they drag that feud? Yes, but at the end of the day, it still was a good payoff. When Sasha won.
Yeah, 2 years later. It took 6 years.
Yeah, I know. And I probably was one of them that was complaining then. But at the end of the day,
so
still
yet once. You might want to shut up before that changes.
Well, we're about to go home, so it's good. Let's get started. Well, how did everyone feel when Eddie won the belt? Because to me, as a fan, and as a somewhat jaded fan, honestly, it's hard to get me excited anymore. But even just watching this back, you saw me. I was on my feet yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, you were getting up this cigarette.
No, I wasn't. And, I mean, it was a great pop, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh. So how many stars would you give this match, Stevie?
Well, probably going to give it a 7.
Doug?
9.
Doug, get that out of the case. What if?
You puke on my car.
All
right, I don't want to hear it.
What was that, Clint?
I'll give it a 10. I want to give it a 10.
Okay. Eric?
Why the hell not? I'll give it a 10, too.
All right. Eric gave it a 9. Doug?
No, give it a 10.
I'm going 10.
All right.
Even though you already asked me and I said 9. But I'll go 10 just for the fuck. All
right. And I'm going to give this match a 4. Now, that was
what?
Our no end.
A 4?
No. It's a 10. It's a great fucking match. It's 30 minutes and it kept my
attention. I'm going to wipe my nose on your
you want to die. Eddie and Brock, these two put on a classic. With Brock Green, yeah. But it was still a great match. Eddie carried the whole thing, but it was phenomenal. I love this match, so yeah. 10 stars. Pay-per-view as a whole. Let's give our final thoughts here and our rating for the pay-per-view. Clintus, I'm going to start with you. Your
pay-per-view
final thoughts
as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Pay-per-view as a whole was
Okay. He had it was built around, like you said, the main event between Eddie and Brock. The small storyline between the whole Goldberg situation. And then you had just the triple threat. Those are the three main viewpoints going into No Way Out, and everything else is just a size show just to get to WrestleMania.
Yep.
But besides that, I'll give it overall, I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Eric?
Overall, I'll give it a 7 out of 10 too. The pay-per-view, besides just, there's three top matches were obviously the last three, and the rest were this. So I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Doug? All right. Actually, no. Stevie?
Oh. Yeah. Actually, sorry, Doug. I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10. I think the main event is the match I wanted to see, so out of the whole pay-per-view.
Absolutely. 7 out of 10.
But 7 out of 10. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to go. I'm going 8. There was a lot of. I actually go 7 too. This was a great show for what it was. Unfortunately, it was the last three matches. There was sort of good stuff sprinkled throughout. Yes, there is a good amount of filler here, but the last three matches is worth the wait. It's worth watching the pay-per-view, especially if not the main event. Every person needs to see the main event at some point, if you call yourself a wrestling fan. So
there was four matches that could have been a card by itself.
Yes. I agree. And the rest were just there, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Doug.
No, I'm an idiot. Main event anywhere. okay. So, I did like this pay-per-view. I think SmackDown did better pay-per-views back at that time. Here's the thing. SmackDown, I think, was a better show than Raw, but the issue was that SmackDown was taped, so you could always go on the computer and look at the results. And I would always do that, but it got to a point where I wanted to start being surprised more, downloading more porn on a computer, trying to crash it so I wouldn't have any way to look up the results. By the way, it doesn't take a lot for porn to crash a desktop computer. Laptop, but anyway. I thought this pay-per-view was good. It started out, there's a lot of filler. The last three matches, I think, really made the show. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10.
All right. And with that being said, that was our No Way Out 2004 retrospective. Does anyone have anything else?
No.
Good show.
Go ahead.
I enjoyed the discussion.
Oh. So you interrupt me just to say that?
Basically.
Yeah. Sorry, Doug.
So, remember next week we're going to be doing the Von Erickson Freebirds feud retrospective. I think, don't we have an announcement to make?
Yeah.
You want to make that announcement?
We're getting rid of the Patreon.
Yeah.
The Unscripted Wrestling family will be staying on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and we will be soon migrating to YouTube. So everything you are going to hear from us for the future will be free. The Patreon move felt a little rushed. We might come
rushed,
back.
Gave in to Eric because he kept pushing for it to go on.
Not just that. It just felt like a little bit of a rushed move. So we're
because we still suck.
No, we don't still suck. But we're going back on it. Didn't you just give him shit about interrupting? But but yeah, we're going off Patreon for right now, so you're going to be able to hear all our stuff not behind the paywall, so that's great news for the fans. And
both of them.
Yeah, there was only one subscriber. That was my brother.
So we'll be back at some point. Thank you for continuing to let us into your ears and listen to us. And please continue to support us. And yeah, we're just going to give more content for free now, so that's good. With that being said, this was our No Way Out 2004 retrospective. Stevie, Clement, thanks for coming on the show. It's a pleasure having you.
You're welcome.
All right. You're welcome.
And all right, guys. We'll see everyone next week.
How about Sunday? What are we doing Sunday?
It's a chore. We're not doing anything Sunday.
Oh, okay.
It's Valentine's Day on Sunday. Okay. Find a Valentine to have some sex.
With that being said, gentlemen, we will see you next week. Have a good night.
Good night.